Okay, so let's go further. So we kind of left with the problem making something clear, but I don't really have it clear, so let's just go further. So it says like this. So we're in the Mishnah on Chesem and Aleph. It says, Abba Shol Omer. It's like in the end of the Mishnah. It's basically, so it says like this. Asher Yavo Esra'eho Bayar. Okay, so the Torah's case of galus. We're talking about galus. If you kill someone by accident, you go to galus. So the Torah's case is where you're in the forest chopping wood, and the axe or the blade or a piece of wood goes flying and kills somebody. Okay, so nichayev. So it's like shogeg. So the Gemara learns. Yeah, what's the purpose of teaching me the case of yar? It's a forest. So the first shot holds is teaching you that it's a case where. It's like Rishos Rabim. It's like a place where they both have rights to be there. You have a right to be there chopping wood, and the guy who said it also has a right to be there. So you have a right to be chopping, but you have to be careful. And he has a right to be there. If he didn't have a right to be there, so then you don't have to be careful, like if it's in your Rishos. So he doesn't have a right to be there. You don't have to be careful. You can do flagrant things in your Rishos, because don't be there. And if you didn't have a right to be there, if it's in his rishos, then it's like it's flagrant. Even if you're just chopping wood, you just have no right to do the dangerous thing in the first place. So then you wouldn't even. It'd be worse than shogeg. It's like if it's too flagrant, then you don't get. Shogeg is a punishment, but it's an opportunity for a kapara. So if you were doing something crazy, like chopping wood in some other guy's field, and some other guy's rishos, then it's even worse. So you don't deserve the. Then it's called karov amezer, and you don't deserve kapara. So that's basically. That's we did this some time ago. But that's what he learns out. Whoever this is, Rabbi, I don't know. The Stam Mishnah learns out from this case. Okay, of the farce. But now Abba Shol, this is what we're interested for today. So Abba Shol, Omer Mach, Atavas Eitzim Rishos, Alkol Rishos. So why is it teaching the case of here for chopping wood in the forest? It's setting a precedent that just like chopping wood is Rishos, optional, so too, you're only chayiv galus if you kill someone while doing an optional action. Yatzah, it excludes mitzvahs. It excludes if you kill someone while doing a mitzvah. Yatzah ha'av ha'mak espino, excludes the case of a father who's hitting his son. V'harav ha'rod es talmida, or a rebbe who's hitting his talmid. V'shelech bezdin, or shelech bezdin who's hitting the sinner. Those guys, it's a mitzvah to hit. It's a mitzvah to hit. So if you kill somebody while doing the mitzvah, like you go overboard by accident, so then you don't go to galus. That's what Abba Shol is saying. Because he's learning out from the case of the Gemara, the case of the Pasuk, which is where you're chopping wood, which is an optional activity. It's not a mitzvah to chop wood. It's an option to chop wood. Right? So Rashi says, Kav magas bino la toso l'derech ha'emes. So not just a mitzvah for a father to hit a son, it means to turn him to the proper path. Okay, so...
Well, how would that make it any different, though?
Because it's a mitzvah.
But when he's saying it's not just a mitzvah, but it's also, it's got some other... Or is that the mitzvah?
Well, the mitzvah is to hit him to turn him towards the good. Like, if you're just hitting him because you're upset and you're angry, so then there's no mitzvah. You're not involved in the mitzvah. Then it's just stam, you know.
Right.
But if you're hitting him in order to be, you know, to give him like a mussar, to turn him to the good, to, you know, so then that's a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. So then if you're killing him and by accident in doing the mitzvah, so then that's, you don't go to galus. That's what it's teaching you. Your pater.
Mm-hmm. Pater from galus. Can't say though that you should still be careful. It can't just
Okay. We have to understand the nature of the limud. Yeah, you could say you should still be careful. But we have to explain that. That's a good question. Why? What's the difference? Either way, you have to be careful. It's very nice, it's a mitzvah, but don't kill him. You know, be careful not to kill him. Why should that be patur? Right? Sure. Right. That's why you need to leave it, though, right? It's not just pashut, because, yeah, on the surface you'd say, who cares? It's or not a mitzvah. Either way, don't kill somebody. Okay. So... So yeah, we could try to explain that before we go further. I mean, the Gemara is going to get into back and forth and this and that. Maybe chopping wood is a mitzvah, maybe whatever. Maybe let's just try to give some basic explanation for that. What's the sense of that limud? Is that, can we define the limud? What's it teaching us? Look, it's true, it's a mitzvah, but after all, be careful. Alright, next one's asking. Fair question. Malchus, it says, Miss Rashi says, Hamalach Shliach Bez, Hamalach Arbam L'chai Malchus. You think I'm L'chai Malchus. But it must be, the case is where you hit him too much, or too hard, or too something, because if Imamish just said they evaluated him, that he's chayav the right, whatever amount, they always do evaluate you, how much you can handle. So they evaluate you can handle 39. Now you hit him too hard or too much, or we don't know, but it must be something. If it's totally honest, then you don't need to say because it's mitzvah, say because it's total honest. So it must mean that you did something wrong, right? Or it's, let's say, by the father. It must be that you don't have to kill him. I think the show is that you hit him too hard. Like, you took it overboard, you hit the kid, so you want to really teach him a lesson, but you have to know where to draw the line. So you have to know not to kill him, you have to be careful when you're hitting him, you have to realize hitting people causes them to die sometimes. And it's true you have to do the mitzvah, but after all, there's a way there's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah. Don't do it too hard, you gotta be careful. Alright? Just talking about as an aside, what's the idea of hitting someone from Esther? What's the point of that? Sounds like so you could argue it's cruel, or what's the point? Right? What's ever the point? But I think Jonah's saying is good, is that that you're saying is like, the idea is certain things that a person does is destructive. It's harmful to himself, right? You're doing something which is bad for him, and it's harmful. There's such a thing as that. A kid is a kid. He doesn't see the long term. He doesn't see that this is bad for him. But it really is bad for him. It's harmful for him. If a parent is in a, you know, in a more advanced position in life, and he could see that this is really a derech, which is ra, and it's harmful to him. It's going to make him unhappy. It's going to lead him to being depressed. It's going to lead him to killing himself. It's going to lead him to whatever it is, you know? It's a harmful path. But the kid is very short-sighted, right? He's not able to see. He's stuck in his world, in his small world. His mind isn't fully developed. His emotions are tied in with something in a way that he can't pull free. He can't be honest. He can't break free. So he can't see the consequences. He can't see the long-term consequences of his route. But so a normal, a healthy person, an adult, the way he should avoid chait is that he basically should see. Or you know, the proper way is to see the consequences and see why chet is bad for you. See why the life of a vero or whatever it is bad for you. Let's say a guy is dieting. You know, I should see why, you know, eating too much is harmful to you. And just, you know, shouldn't eat because you realize it's bad for you. You're going to be in pain. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to this. You're going to have that. And you enjoy yourself based upon your knowledge of the past, of the future, what's going to happen. But a person, if a person's not able to get out of their short-term emotions, they're not able to see that, so the parent's role is basically to, so to speak, to artificially give consequences to his action. In other words, he can't see the long-term consequences, but he can see short-term consequences. So if the father hits him when he does it, so he's teaching him this is bad. And he gives him his emotions. He gives him in terms of his emotions. The father's message is that this is a bad thing for you and it's harmful to you and you got to stop it. But the kid can't see that because it's pleasurable, let's say, in the now. And he can't associate, can't break his attachment to the thing as he just feels this is good. You know, so the father does is he like artificially creates consequences of, let's say, the head. Now, the head is not the ultimate consequence, but it brings to his mind and the idea that there are consequences and this is harmful to you. So now it trains him and it allows his emotions to basically relate to this thing as being harmful. First of all, it stops him in his path. He's not going to just go straight at it because now he has an emotional consequence. But it's really, the father is doing is the message is that if you do this, you're going to get hit. But not my hit. My hit is just it's a stand-in for the real hit. That's that's the message. The message isn't just I'm going to beat you up. That doesn't teach the kid anything. The message is you are going to harm yourself by doing this. But you don't see that. But I'm going to give you this hit. You're going to get this hit later if you keep going in this path. I'm just going to basically put it in your mind's eye right now. You know, and that could hopefully break the kid free to realize. Like that's I think the message of a good musser. Is this is bad for you. If you do this, you're going to get hit. But not my hit. My hit is just a temporary hit. You're going to get a real hit. You're really going to harm yourself. And if he does that, you know, you think that hurt? You think this hurts? You should see what's going to happen to you if you go on this path. So it's trying to get him to be able to hit his emotions in a way where he's able to be a little more reflexive and to look past the moment. Now, at least in the moment, he has positive and he has a conflict, and you know. So then hopefully he's able to, because the true choice of a person's free will is he's able to get out of the moment and look at a long-term consequence. That's usually the way it goes, is that in the short term, your emotions are going for something, but you could see with your mind's eye that it's bad for you. And that's where you have a free will, is to choose not to be blinded by your short-term feelings, and you're able to choose that which makes sense to your mind, and because you see that it's good. And they'll be good for you in the long run. But again, that's a mature type of a thing, which in general, like a kid, or unfortunately adults also, aren't able to do. So the idea of someone giving you mussar, it doesn't have to be a kid. It could be a mussar of a rabbi giving you mussar also. It could give you a strong scolding. Whatever form of mussar is. But the idea is to make you feel a certain, let's say guilt. That's another form of mussar, is rabbi will really rip into you for doing something. And you really realize, that was bad, you know, and you create some sort of negative consequence, which you'll be able to, you know, it's important for a person, you have to counter, I guess it's like your emotions, like, usually Avera has a short-term pleasure, that's why a guy's doing it, so you have to basically create a counter-emotion in the short term that will allow him to basically take a step back and think about it. If it's too pleasurable in the short term, it's oftentimes you get blinded and you can't think. If you know if you do it, you'll get the short-term pleasure, but you'll also get the short-term smack. So then maybe you'll have to take a step back and to the question. But not to not do it because of the smack. To not do it because the smack brings to mind that this is... Like a good rabbi or a good father is giving a message. So don't avoid it because of my hit. My hit is only reminding you or showing you what what's really going to happen to you. You know? The problem. The problem is that most parents aren't really good, and they don't have this idea. So most parents are hitting their kids because they are frustrated. So they have no way. They can't control their kid. Their kid gets in the way of their emotions. They want their kid to live up to some sort of image that they have. The kid isn't quite meeting up to that. It makes them very stressed out. They can't. All their fantasies they had for their kids aren't being realized. So the parent has to somehow gain power and control over the kid. So in frustration, he's throwing the kid, and he could hit him, or he could whatever. So that's bad, because then you're not doing it for the kid's best interest, and it's your own personal emotions which are involved in the kid, and that's never going to help out. Like, if the kid, it could work if the kid knows that you're doing it for his good, and you're giving him a message, and you're showing him, and you're teaching him. It's part of a process of teaching.
Yeah.
Then it could work, but nowadays, people aren't like that. That's a sophisticated type of a parent. So nowadays, people are just upset, or they're frustrated, and they're just kind of trying to manipulate their kids, control their kids. So when that's the case, it's bad, and you got to stop it. I mean, you could really destroy people like that, because kids hurt them for no reason. It's not fair. So there's like this. So nowadays, in our society, basically, it's off limits, you know? But I would think it's true. Parents who are not properly motivated shouldn't be in their kids. Why should a parent be allowed to hit their kid any more than anyone else in society is allowed to hit anybody else that they're upset with? You know, it's a proper thing to do insofar as you could do it with the proper mindset as an attempt to help the kid out in a loving it's a loving type of type of a thing. Like the boss says, Kasha Yasir Shaspino Shana Kathum Yasraka, just like a father gives mussar to his kid, God does that to us. So God could do that also. And so far as the person is doing an Avera, so maybe he'll get an Onesh, and the Onesh will cause him to pause and realize, this is a path which is wrong, and this path has bad consequences, and I'm headed in a bad way, it's going to destroy my life. And hopefully an Onesh would, could remind the person, like maybe an example could be, just like as a, I guess this would be like as if, I don't, who knows what God does and how God does Onesh, but let's say a person is like a drug problem, So like if a guy would, let's say, have some sort of an overdose and almost die, or have a really painful type of an experience, so it could cause them to pause and realize that their life they're going down a bad path, and they're killing themselves, and this is not a life, and it could cause them to take a pause and to stop and to think, this is there are consequences of drugs, and there may be longer term consequences, and is this what I want my life to be? So like that could be, for instance, if you wanted to punish a kid, or it could be as an example, God would be punishing a person for a punishment like that is a punishment which would be helping a person. It's not in order to get the person to suffer, but a punishment like that would show a person the consequences of his actions. You know, and that's short-term suffering, but that could allow a person, give a person a pause, a moment to reflect and to make a good decision. So if a father, a good father, I think a kid could sense if a good father is doing it for his own good. And then I think it could work. You know, and a kid won't rebel against it, and a kid, you know, but it has to be done very carefully. You know, it's hard to do carefully, it's hard to do properly. You know, a father has to know himself. I know it's not just acting out of his own frustration, but I think if the kid really knows the father is doing it for his own good, which is always tricky, you know, kids are prone not to think that kind of thing, but it could backfire if the kid thinks that you're really just trying to manipulate him. That's, you know. True, it depends on the age of the kid. When the kid's already, so the problem is like, I don't think a father's allowed to hit a kid once he's gadol, because it's lifneiver, because the kid's going to hit him back, and it's an issue for the kid to hit his father. So I think it's halacha, you're not allowed to hit your kid once he's bar mitzvah, because it's like chazaka, he's not going to be able to control himself, he's going to hit you back, he's going to do an issur. It's a bad issur. It's an issur skila to hit your father.
We had that question, like in last time, so we did a paintball trip.
Yeah, right.
So we asked somebody, Kelmer,
if you could play with your father through that.
Like, well, can you play against your dad?
What'd he say?
He's like, I know how much you guys want to. You have to be on the same team.
That's
how he allowed
really?
It, I guess.
Oh, okay. So just like, it's no fun then.
Exactly.
No one came. so if the kid has at a level where they have some degree of knowledge, then I think in the Musar the kid could, you know, there could be a message along with the thing. You know, where they could sense that the father is doing it for their own best interest. I think kids have a certain sense. You know, could sense whether their parents are helping them or not. It's not fair, and the kid is like, if the kid senses that the parent is manipulating them or is just, you know, then the kid senses it. If the parent is genuinely interested in the kid's best interest, then I think the kid could sense that. They may say it's not fair. Of course, they're going to say that. But I think a kid could tell. You know, but sometimes it's just like, whatever. Sometimes it's just you have to associate negativity and consequences to that action. Bottom line is, you have to stop. Sometimes you have to stop an action. You just got it. It's a bad path, and it could spiral out of control, and you got to stop it. So, a good consequence, a good beating, near death beating, will stop a kid from doing it again. He's going to be scared out of his mind to do it.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Nowadays, we don't do those types of things. But there's certain things. It's like if a guy goes down a certain path, then you could stop it by creating a negative consequence. So, a kid may not necessarily at that point notice it, but when they get older, they'll realize that this is what's, you know, it's tricky. It's a tricky type of an area.
It's brought up in the...
The one thought we were saying, I guess this is what Yono was saying, is that look, there's a dangerous action. Normally, let's say chopping wood is dangerous. So he'll say, you don't have a right to do dangerous things? Don't do dangerous things. You want to do a dangerous thing? Be careful. Be careful. If you're not careful, then it's your fault. Look, you shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have chopped wood. If you can't be careful, don't chop wood. Now, but let's say you did some mitzvah to do it. I have to. I'm chayev to hit the kid. No one's supposed to do it. Now, it's hard to be careful, but it's hard to be careful. I'm not capable of doing it properly to, you know. So when you say don't do it, it's a mitzvah. So it's like, to a certain extent, it's like this Torah is forcing you into doing something which is dangerous. And now it's true, you should try to be careful. But like, what do you can't not do it. It's not an option to not do it. You have to do it. So now you have to be careful, but you could still argue the point, though, is, look, if you really think you can't be careful, don't do the mitzvah, yeah. What you're supposed to do. If you think you may kill the kid, don't hit him. Right? I mean, only it's true, it's a mitzvah, but it's not docha killing. So, even if you think that, if you're saying is, listen, I can't hit him without killing him, without maybe killing him. So then I say, look, don't do the mitzvah. Killing is docha any mitzvah, right? So you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. Right. The way of saying it, though, is like when you opt to do a dangerous thing, you're assuming the onesh of shogig. That's the way you're saying it, right? That's the way you're saying it. It's like a matir. So when you don't really have a right to do a dangerous thing, and by doing so, you're doing it at your own risk. And now you're basically chayev. Now if you kill him, but here you have a right to do it. Period. It's a mitzvah. So you don't have to say, well, it's dangerous. It's always telling you it's true, it's dangerous, but do it anyways. Be careful. So now it's saying is, So now you don't say anymore, it's like, I took that on myself. I didn't take it on myself. It's when you go to the forest to chop wood, so now you're taking on the full responsibilities of what happens. If you don't want to accept the full responsibilities, then don't do it. But when the Torah is saying is you have to do it, so then you don't have the responsibility. It's almost like the Chi of Galus is a combination of that you did it and you weren't careful. It's like a double crime. It's like a two-step crime. What do you get Galus for? For doing the dangerous thing and not being careful. Not being properly careful. But if the doing it itself was forced upon you, and now all you're doing is just not being careful enough, that alone isn't Mechayev Yom Galus. It's like part of the thing is like you're going into this Rishos. You're going into the forest to chop wood, like, and you're not being careful. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing there? Why are you doing that? Don't do that. If you're going to kill a guy, don't do it. So it's like part of the crime is that you did the thing in the first place. You did it, and then you killed him. You weren't probably careful. But here it's mitzvah. You have to do it. So now all you did is you could say is like when you were doing your mitzvah, you weren't being properly careful. But the Torah is, at least as Shita is saying, is Mechayev is only where part of the crime is the fact that you opted to do it. You opted to do it and you did it without care. But when there's mitzvah, so then it's like you had a right to do it. So you can't say that's like part of the thing. It's not like part of the crime. It's not 100% clear, but it's a good approach. I just feel maybe, like, I don't think we should really get a perfectly clear idea here, because we're about to do the sugya, and the sugya is going to get into the details about when and how exactly. So, you know, this sometimes it's good, like, just to start off with a basic approach, and then we'll see, you know. It's not saying is that it's totally, like, scot-free, and, you know, like, you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, maybe you did something wrong, but it just, that's not what shogig is for. That's not what galus is for. It's not bad enough. It's not as bad. You know what reminds me of? Let's say you kill someone friendly fire. Right, like in a war. So you'll say, look, you should be more careful. But look, you're in a war, you're shooting guns, you have to shoot a gun, that's what you're supposed to be doing here, guns are dangerous. So look, yeah, should you be careful? Should that not happen? Yeah, it shouldn't happen. But things happen. You're shooting guns are dangerous, this is kind of what happens sometimes. So like, but if you're hunting, don't hunt. If you can't be perfectly careful to make sure that you don't shoot somebody, don't do it. And if you're not sure that there's a good hit, a clear shot, don't shoot the gun. But what are you going to say in a war? Don't do that. You have to do that. You don't have a choice. Right. So it's like the same thing. It's like, look, if you're going to hit somebody, if you're not 100% sure that you're not going to kill him, don't do it. So he says, look, if you're not 100% sure, you can't hit the guy without killing him, don't do it. But by hitting him, it's a mitzvah. What are you going to say? I'm 100% sure I'm not going to kill the person. Don't do it. I mean, 100% sure. Look, I'm trying not to kill him. But ultimately, there's a certain amount of fact that sometimes when you hit somebody, the Torah has an institution of hitting kids, or musar, of hitting people in onesh and makos. It's going to happen once in a while. Someone's going to die. You hit a guy, hit people often enough. So once in a while, so this is going to say that's going to happen. But the Torah's holding, you got to do it. It's important that this institution exists. Now, if someone dies, look, Torah's telling you, it's giving you a right to do it, even though you know there's this outside possibility that's, you know. But like in hunting, don't do it. If you can't take full responsibility, don't do it. So does it mean that if you do friendly fire, you're guiltless? No, but it's not as bad. What they're saying is that suggests kosher, that's not the scope, that's not where galus comes in. Mm-hmm. Galus comes in where he opts to do something, not where the Torah forces him to do something. So I'm throwing out like another approach. I think there's two ways to go in the sugya, basically, halachically. Forget, I'll talk about the philosophy again in a second. I think the main point here is a halachic point. Is that when we're trying to figure out the svara to say that if you kill somebody when doing a mitzvah, you're potter, there's two ways to learn. One way is to say when you're doing a mitzvah, it's like not really your fault. Like we were saying before, it's like, look, you had to be doing it. So look, it's partially your fault, but not fully your fault. There's some light approach like that to show how the fact that you're doing a mitzvah mitigates your responsibility and therefore your father. Right? That's one way to go. It's like almost like a karvanis, something like that. Right? Because you were forced to be doing it, so you're not totally responsible. That's one type of an approach. The other approach is to say, no, you're really just as guilty as anyone else. You're just as negligent as anybody else. But it's like an external p'tor.
The Torah says, look, if you kill somebody b'shogeg while doing a mitzvah, the Torah potters you. Serious gossip of your potter. Torah doesn't mechayev a guy for galus for doing a mitzvah. Even though really it is his fault and he is responsible and he is negligent and all those things, bottom line is the Torah is not mechayev for that. Right? And again, I was saying you could speculate philosophically because, like, that would create a certain bad opinion of Torah. A person feels like he's here. He is. He's forced to do a mitzvah, and then because of that, he goes to galus and he's punished. So it's true. It ultimately is his fault because he wasn't careful. But still, Torah doesn't want to be mechayev a guy for doing mitzvah. Okay, but I think we should keep open. Whether again, that's just a philosophical. That's speculative. But halachically, we could look at it in two ways: is it that the mitzvah is a p'tor? An exemption, or is it the mitzvah is like an absence of the conditions of chiyuv? You know what I mean? Again, a p'tor is like an external exemption. The other way, it's like it's not the conditions of chiyuv. It's not the proper level of carelessness in order to be mechayev. Okay, we don't know. I mean, again, we're just starting this sugya. I don't think we should really nail anything down yet. We should just follow the clues. But I'm just saying is I could see two ways to go. You know. It's clearing chakira at this point, you know. Just there's two different ways of looking at the other side of this yosa gossip. You know? Let's leave that. Let's do the next case of the Gemara. I'll settle the next problem. Okay? Because I think we have to really work our way into the sugya here. It's a little premature to really work it out yet. So Gemara asks like this. Omar lehahu me rabbanan l'rava. It's asking on the limud. The limud is from chopping wood, right? I'm kind of like halfway down the Gemara, like 10 to 15 lines about 2 dots. So it says, "Mimai de mechatava seitzin derashos." How do you know? Because what was the limud? Is that look the Torah's case is chopping wood. Chopping wood is a rashos. So to always rashos as opposed to mitzvah. It says, "How do you know the case is where you're chopping wood for rashos?" Dilma mechatava seitzin de sukkah, mechatava seitzin maracha. Maybe you're chopping wood because you want to build a sukkah, or because you want to build a pile of wood on the mizbeach. Chopping wood doesn't have to be rashos. So the Mishnah, the Torah never says Rishos. It just says if you're going into the forest to chop wood. So now your limit is, you see from the Torah, the precedent is the case where a guy's doing something which is Rishos because you don't have the chop wood. So too, it's only where it's you're doing a Rishos, but not where you're doing a mitzvah. Who said? Chopping wood is also a mitzvah sometimes. Chopping wood for sukkah, chopping wood for mizbeach. There's such a thing as chopping wood for mitzvah. So how do you know, how could you darshan the Torah and say that the Torah's case is a precedent that it's only where it's Rishos. Maybe it's even where it's a mitzvah.
So wouldn't it specify, like in this case, it's specifying that it's for a mitzvah?
Oh. Well, I guess you'd say, is the Torah's, I think it's a good question you're asking, but I'd say is that if the Torah doesn't specify, you'd assume it means any chopping wood. It's not saying it's bedafka, only a case where you're doing a mitzvah, but it just says, look, it just says when you're chopping wood. So the simple, without positing anything, you'd say, any kind of chopping wood, I don't care, mitzvah, not mitzvah. But the Gemara is trying to say, chopping wood, that's definitely Rishos. Oh, therefore, you see, always galus is Rishos. Maybe no. Maybe, how do you know? Whereas you're the one trying to make the limud and say that it's dafka talking about a case of chopping wood of Rishos, and therefore always Rishos. So who says? Right? You know what I mean? The Gemara says, no. It says, "Imke Amalei Kivan de Imatzachatov Lav Mitzvah Hashanami Lav Mitzvah." It says, "No, is that chopping wood? Listen, let's say you were building a sukkah and you had wood. You found wood. There's wood right on the floor. Then is it a mitzvah to chop the wood? No, you don't have to chop wood. It just if you don't have wood, you happen to, you know." So he's saying is, since if you found the wood, it wouldn't, if you already had wood, it wouldn't be a mitzvah to chop it. So to here, it's not really a mitzvah. It's not really a mitzvah. Hashtanami Rashi, ki lo matza chatuva, in ha chatava mitzvah, elas yas asukah. What's the mitzvah? Like the mitzvah is not the chopping wood, the mitzvah is building a sukkah. Now it just happens to be that in order to build a sukkah, now you have to chop wood. But listen, I build a sukkah every year, I've never chopped wood. So it's not like there's a mitzvah of chopping wood. That's not a mitzvah of chopping wood. So that's not, that he's saying, that's not defined as mitzvah. That's defined as rishos. Chopping wood is rishos. Now, you happen to need to chop wood because you happen to find yourself in a funny situation that the only way for you to build the sukkah is chopping wood. That's not mitzvah. That's not mitzvah. So therefore, if you buy that, which we have to explain, then the case of the Mishnah, the case of the Torah, is where you're chopping wood. Chopping wood is never a mitzvah. There's never a mitzvah. Torah says chop wood. Where's a mitzvah like that? There's no mitzvah to chop wood. So it's just like a hechsher of a mitzvah. It's looking ordered to do it. In this case, you have to do it. So, but the case of the mitzvah is never really a mitzvah. But the limud is. But if you're actually doing a mitzvah, like hitting your kid is actually a mitzvah. It's not just if maybe that's actually a mitzvah. Hitting a guy with malchus, that's the mitzvah. Hit the guy 40 hits. That's a mitzvah. It's not just if you need to. That's the mitzvah. Hitting a guy. So the saying is, so therefore I'll tell you that's the limud, that if it's actually a mitzvah, then you're potter. So I mean, we'll see. The Gemara is going to ask. It's not so simple. Let's say the kid is well behaved. And it says, Eitzir Rava, Rabbeinu Rava, Yotzav, Magas Beno Rava, Tamido, Shech Bezin, Lema, Kivin, Ilu Gomer, Lav Mitzvah. Why don't you say, listen, if my kid would have learned and been a good kid, it wouldn't have been a mitzvah. Hashanami, Lav Mitzvah. So 2 years is not a mitzvah. Right? What you're saying is I would have had wood and then it wouldn't have been a mitzvah. Yeah, but you don't have wood. Right? So say, look, if my kid was good, it wouldn't have been a mitzvah. So why don't you say the same thing? Hitting a kid isn't intrinsically a mitzvah. Just like chopping wood isn't intrinsically a mitzvah. If I would have found other wood, then it wouldn't have been a mitzvah. So too, if my kid would have been well behaved, it wouldn't have been a mitzvah. So Gemara says, and we have to analyze these steps. But Hasam Afik of the Gomer mitzvah. No. Hitting a kid is always a mitzvah. Even if he's a good kid, it's a mitzvah. The pasuk is hit your kid and he'll leave you alone and you'll give yourself a good, you know, pleasant life. If you don't hit your kid, you can end up causing yourself. It's supposed to be a mishle, but you want to be a nice, I think the simple says you want to have pleasantries. You don't want to get involved in hitting. But in the long term, you can have a much more pleasant life if you're able to hit your kid. It's like a parent who can't discipline their kid. They know they can't handle the confrontation. But you don't realize in the long run, you're going to give yourself so many confrontations in the future. You just be willing to put your foot down once, be a man, and to, you know, create a little bit of a, you know, confrontation. Then your whole life, you wouldn't have been able to have a pleasant life. Turns out, because you weren't willing to hit him once. So now it turns out your entire life you're struggling, and you know, so it says, hit your kid, and you'll get yourself rest, and you'll give yourself a good, pleasant life. It's undermining, it's like underscoring a kind of like a psychological reason a person doesn't want to hit their kid. They don't want to have conflict. They just want peace. But they don't realize that sometimes, in order to create peace, you gotta be a little bit tough. Right? You gotta be willing to put your foot down. Fine, but that's, we'll get to that. But what's halachically the point is, it's saying is that, no, it's always a mitzvah to hit your kid. It's not only if he's bad. Even if he's good, part of chinuch involves hitting sometimes. It's like, it's not, like, I guess it was more a thought. It's like, it's only if he's bad, but if he's not bad, but he's not, that's part of the thing. Which we have to analyze in its own right. But basically, I think we have to take these steps. But the first thing I think we should take up is the first case. Is the first Hamin Maskana is that, do you say chopping wood for a sukkah is considered mitzvah or not? The first Gemara says, look, I'm chopping wood for a sukkah, that's a mitzvah. So you see the Torah's case could be it is a mitzvah. So Gemara says, no, that's not really a mitzvah. Because since if you would have found wood anyways, so if you already found wood, you wouldn't have to chop it. So therefore, that's not considered a mitzvah. So I want to define whether, what's the logic to say chopping wood for a sukkah is considered a mitzvah? Maybe more a thought. And what's the logic to say, no, that's not considered a mitzvah because it's not 100% necessary? Alright? Once we define that on Yoskana, then we could turn to this king of by Chinuch, whether by your kid, you know, that's most of the point. Okay, so that's, I guess we could try both of those things for tomorrow.